This message is overcoming rejection. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and Luke chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 53 and Luke chapter 6. I am going to put them up here on the PowerPoint as well. And we're going to be talking about today overcoming rejection. I made a joke earlier that I'm overcoming the rejection from my grandson already, and he's still in the womb. He will not come out. He was supposed to be a May baby, and now it's June. And so Taya is having contractions 7 minutes apart, and she says they're getting way stronger, so hopefully it's going to be today. If it's not today, definitely by tomorrow, because the doctor wanted her to come into the hospital there at Weatherford tonight at 10, and he was going to induce again. She was induced last Tuesday, but it just didn't work, and so he sent her home. And so Taya was very frustrated. But she's been having contractions all night, and she's listening. I think she's watching, hey, babe. And but she's worn out, she said, and she's ready for this little guy to come out. So we're praying for him to come out in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. All right, today we're going to talk about overcoming rejection. And the first scripture that we're going to look at is in Isaiah 53, verses 2 through 3. And it says, "For he shall grow up before him." And this is a prophecy, a messianic prophecy, talking about Jesus, the prophet Isaiah. It says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men." This is talking about Jesus. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." And this is talking about Jesus. From birth to death, Jesus was the most rejected human being in the history of the world. From birth to death. And I know I look around the room here, and every one of us in here, no matter what your age is, have experienced rejection in one way or another. How many of you? Okay, everybody in here is going to rate. Everybody has. I don't care what your age is. We've all faced rejection in some way or another. But I'm just going to give you a snapshot of Jesus' life. From birth, he was rejected by his earthly father, Joseph. Joseph was like, Mary, this ain't happening. You've been with some other dude, and she's saying no. Can you imagine how crazy this was? And she's like, no, it was the Holy Spirit. And, okay. The Holy Spirit, right, Mary. And God had to have an angel appear to Joseph in a dream to tell him, no, that she is carrying the Savior of the world. So it started even in the womb with Jesus. And then the Roman rulers, if you read the Gospels, King Herod rejected Jesus by murdering, when he found out that there was a king that had been born, because it was spreading all over the empire. He got this how insecure this king was. He decided he wanted every male child that was 2 years and younger murdered. And he did. That's in the Gospels, because he was rejecting Jesus. Nazareth, as Jesus grew up, and as he was the carpenter's son, I love that the passion of the Christ that Mel Gibson directed. I love the scene where he's in the carpenter's shop with Mary and with his mother, and he's in the carpenter's shop. How many of you seen that? And he makes the table. And he's asking his mom, "You think this will catch on?" You know, because the Jewish people didn't sit at a table; they just sat around on the ground and had. I thought that was really cool. But even when I was thinking about that, even in his hometown of Nazareth, when Jesus got up the day at the synagogue at church and he read out of the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears," basically telling him, "I'm the Messiah. I'm the Son of God." The people of Jesus' hometown rejected him, and the Bible even says that they tried to throw him off the cliff and kill him. And Jesus got out of town. I think I would too, but they were rejecting him even in his hometown. His own family, and there's one scripture that alludes to this in Mark chapter 3, verse 31. Even though Mary knew, all right, when Jesus came of age and his ministry began, and he began to go around and teach and preach, it says that his family, Jesus' mother and siblings, thought he had gone crazy, and they came to get him in Mark chapter 3, verse 31. And then at the cross, the Heavenly Father rejected Jesus on the cross because Jesus took our sins, your sins, my sins, upon himself for us. And that's when the father rejected him and said, and that's why Jesus said, my father, why have you forsaken me? And it's because Jesus took our sins upon him. Amen. And thank God he did that for us. He took our rejection from God upon himself so that we could be accepted in Christ. And God good? God is good. And all the time. All right. This is how Jesus overcame rejection. Rejection never affected his decisions. Rejection never affected his attitude or the way he treated people. And rejection never kept him from accomplishing his destiny. That's how he overcame rejection. There's a scripture in Matthew 22, and I didn't put the slide up here, but it's verses 37 through 39. Most of you, if you've been around church any length of time, you've heard these scriptures. But it's the scripture where the lawyer asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said to love God with your heart, your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. And the second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So love God and love others. And this is what Jesus, what the word is telling us, is your greatest need and my greatest need is love. So look at somebody right now sitting next to you and say, I love you. Do it now, all right? Love is our greatest need. And our greatest fear is rejection. So don't look back and say, I reject you, okay? Don't do that. That's our greatest fear. And so I'm just going to start off, there's going to be three different points that I'm going to share in this message. But to start off, I'm going to talk about forms of rejection. And this is not an exhaustive list, but we've all dealt with these rejection from childhood, even into adulthood, on jobs. I could just go on and on and on about this. But these are forms of rejection. Being unwanted, not being accepted or loved, being excluded, being laughed at or made fun of, being gossiped or lied about. I mean, has that ever happened to y'all guys? Okay, that's rejection. Being compared in an unfavorable way. Divorce, adultery, these are forms of rejection. Abandonment, physical or emotional. Abuse, verbal, physical, or sexual. Neglect, not being accepted for who I am. These are all forms of rejection that we've all dealt with. You may have had more than one up there that you've dealt with. And so number two is I'm going to give you four common but unhealthy ways we react to rejection. By the way, I know I go through these pretty quick, and I've had several people over the last couple of weeks. My two aunts were here last Sunday, my Aunt Lenita and my Aunt Paulita, and they asked me to email them my PowerPoint slide so they could, take the notes and look up the scriptures. If you want that, just see me after service, and I don't mind at all emailing that to you. But the four common but unhealthy ways to react to rejection. Number one is avoiding the risk of rejection. Everybody say avoiding the risk of rejection. All right. Most of us in here, you've had rejection in your past. And so what we do is when you've been rejected, you kind of start this, what do they call it? An inner vow is the right word for it. An inner vow where you start in your relationships, you start saying, okay, no one is ever going to hurt me like that again. So you throw up walls and you don't let anybody get very close because, okay, I got rejected in the past when I gave my heart to somebody and I opened my life up to somebody. That is not going to happen again. And let me tell you, life got the way God made us, the way God wired us. Life is full of relationships. And you're going to get hurt because people are not God. Amen. God is God. God's never going to hurt you. God's never going to reject you. You're always accepted by God. But you're even with Christians, you're going to find sometimes that rejection happens, and you just got to know that in advance. And so don't live your life like that because you're going to miss out on so much. You're going to miss out with your kids, your grandkids. You're going to miss out just in life, relationships that God brings across your path. Because it may be a great relationship that God's bringing across your path, but you've already got the walls up going, I'm not going to let you in. So don't do that. The other one, the other way that we avoid the risk of rejection is the lack of commitment. The lack of commitment. I'm going to tell off on myself. Lack of commitment on this one is before Jade and I got married, actually, before we finally got up before a minister and said, I do, we lived together, and We lived together for quite a while, and the reason that we did, and I'm going to tell off on myself, is because my lack of commitment. And I'm not blaming this on my parents or anything, but I had just went, on my senior year, I went through, my folks had got a divorce, so I'd already got this rejection up like this. And Jade and I were dating at that time, but this is what I was saying to myself. If I never commit, I cannot be hurt because I did not give my heart away. Jada was just waiting for me to say, let's get married. She's told me that many times. I look back now, with hindsight being 2020, it would have been better for us to get married. It would have been better in all arenas of life, definitely financially. Definitely. If I would have just got over that lack of commitment and said, you know what? Let's just get married. Let's get her done. I'm going to tell a little funny story when we finally got married. I was, you know, my early 20s, I was a nervous wreck when we got married because I was like, man, I'm thinking to myself, I was so scared of commitment. And I was like, this is the biggest commitment of my life. I'm fixing to commit my whole life to Jada. I loved her, but I don't know why. I was just scared of commitment because I was scared of that Jada was going to reject me, and Jada loves me, and we've talked about this before, and we've laughed about it, why we just didn't do it earlier. But her Uncle Gibb, who's went home to be with the Lord, he did our wedding ceremony. And I love Uncle Gibb, and he had this beautiful ceremony for us, and we're standing up there before him, and Mark was there. Mark was one of my groomsmen. He remembers this. And I'm standing up there, and I'm in la-la land. I'm not even there. I'm scared. The church was full. It was the Methodist church here in Leedy. The church was full, and I'm standing up there, and Jada can tell I'm not there. And he's up there talking, and I'm just hearing this blah, blah, you know, like Charlie Brown's teacher. And Jada kind of bumps me, and she kind of elbows me like that when we're standing up there in front of him because it's our time to say our vows. And I kind of come back, and all I heard was Uncle Gibb go, Mark, repeat after me. And I go, Mark, repeat after me. And the whole church just started dying laughing. And I turned about five shades of red, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I just screwed up our whole wedding. Here we go. Welcome to the married life. But it was fun, and I'm so glad we had Uncle Gibb do that. And by the way, we will be celebrating in August. August 22, 1992 is when we got married, so 27 years. Amen. God is good. And so the commitment is there now. But I had a fear of rejection and had a spirit of rejection on me at that time and didn't even know it. Now, here's a third way that we avoid the risk of rejection. We avoid rejection by conforming to our environment instead of being ourselves. Anybody that's around, we become a social chameleon. And instead of being who God made us to be. And so be yourself. Look at somebody and say, be yourself. All right, here's a second way, an unhealthy way that we react to rejection is we react in anger and aggression. There was a study done, and it was in Pastor Jimmy's book about this. 13 out of 15 school shootings was due to chronic rejection. That's where that the spirit of rejection was there. In our marriage, I can remember when Jade and I first got married, I've gotten better. I'm not going to say I'm totally just delivered from it, but I've definitely gotten better after 27 years. But whenever Jada would disagree with me about something, I would get mad, and I would get aggressive because I thought she was attacking me, and because it was just because of the spirit of rejection. Like, she would say, no, I'd say, I think we need to go here. She'd like, no, I think we need to go here. And what I heard was, no, you're stupid. We need to go over here. And then she never said that. She just had her own opinion and said, no, I think we need to go here. And so then I would get mad and aggressive and angry and all that. So I'm trying to give you some clues that you might be dealing with the spirit of rejection and you don't even know it. All right, here's number three. Number three, I saw some elbows flying on that second one, reacting in anger and aggression. Number three is feeling hopelessness and despair. And what I want to tell you about this, when somebody has been rejected, the enemy knows that. And so the devil, Satan, comes, and he's the hurt whisperer. And he comes and he begins to whisper to people, you're not loved, you're not accepted. See, I told you they didn't like you. Yeah, you know, just goes on and on and on and on. And this is amazing, but this spirit of rejection, feeling hopelessness and despair, rejected people, they get sick more often. I mean, they're unhealthy. They get it affects them physically. It increases mental and emotional problems, and they have a much higher mortality and suicide rates than others. People that are just have that spirit of rejection on them. It's a big deal, guys. And so if you ever see somebody, and I'm going to talk more about this here in a little bit, but if you ever see somebody, and especially the young people in school, that you can tell that they're feeling hopeless and despair, and they you can tell that they feel rejected, go over and befriend them and be nice to them. And everybody said, amen. All right. And here's the last way, an unhealthy way that we respond to rejection is we become overly sensitive and overly dependent. So people who carry a spirit of rejection are the most offendable people on the earth. People that are they're overly sensitive and overly dependent. You know, if you disagree with them or tell them no or whatever, or you have to confront them, they just fly off the handle because they have that spirit of rejection on them and they're totally offended. So those are the unhealthy ways to that we all deal with rejection. So is everybody ready to get to how to overcome it? Everybody's like, my gosh, Pastor Mark, let's get to the overcoming part. This is getting sad. All right, this is how to overcome rejection. Number one is base your life on God's love and God's word. And this is 1 John 4:18. Where the spirit of rejection comes from is actually a spirit of fear. And so in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. When you know that God accepts me no matter what, and I'm perfected in his love, it doesn't matter what people say about you because you've based your life on God's love and on his word. And then when you get into the word and you start getting the word into you, Psalms 107 verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. When you have a daily habit of getting the word in you, this word, and you may not feel it every day, but this word has a healing balm to it. It will heal all of your wounds, even the wounds of rejection. So that's why you need to have a daily habit of getting in the word. And here's another scripture that goes along with that. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division and soul of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word works on you. You don't read the word for somebody else. You read the word for you. Amen? All right. Here's number two. Pursue relationships with fellow believers. And I know I'm speaking to the choir today, but Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. And I'm talking about committed relationships. Committed relationships. People that will be with you through the fires of life. Amen. That's why you need to have good church family. People that won't agree with you all the time. Amen. You know, that's what we need. And not just disagreeing with you just to make you ticked off, okay? I mean, it's a good friend that's going to say, no, I just don't think that's the right thing for you right now or whatever. But those good, committed relationships, and that's why you need a church family. All right, here's number three. This is where I want to spend a little bit of time today. Do not take rejection personally. And everybody goes, yeah, right. You know, yeah, right. And Jesus said this in Luke 6, verses 22 through 23, and then verse 26. He says, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You got to remember, Jesus was even called Satan himself. Verse 23 says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Yeah, right, Jesus. Don't feel like doing that. For indeed your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. And then in verse 26, it says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Oh, boy. Don't take rejection personally. How many of you just want to beat somebody up when they reject you? Okay, good. I'm talking to some good church folk this morning. That's what I want to do. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and however they treat me, God, I want to treat them back just the same and worse so it hurts them too. And I'm just going to tell you a few, and as I talk about these, you're probably going to hear some rejection come up, some bubbles of rejection come up. because they stick to you. They stick in you, that those words of rejection or acts of rejection. Yes, God has set me free, and I love that as you get older, your care meter goes way down. I don't care. thank God for age and wisdom and all the experience that comes with it. But whenever I was younger, if somebody ever said anything to me, I took it to heart. I took it personally. It hurt me. It crushed me. I know he's patting on Tyler out there. My mom tells me that I was a lot like Tyler growing up. And my mom told me one time, and I have this in this saying that my mom tells me about, don't scrub myself, and I'm sure my dad probably remembers this too, but just don't scrub yourself. But when I was in first grade, the teacher, instead of talking to the student that this applied to, she made a big, broad statement that we all stunk. She made a big deal about it, guys. She was later diagnosed with some mental health issues. I'm serious. She really was. She really was. God help her, and we need to get good teachers in the school system, by the way. That's a true story, and I mean, it's funny, but it wasn't. But at the time, but she would come in, and kids stink. I've substitute taught up there at school. Side note, I'm going to tell you my substitute teaching story. One day I went up to the school to substitute teach, and I've got a whole new appreciation for Carrie and the teachers that we have in here. But they stuck me in second grade, and I had to have PE. And I had on this, like, polo shirt, and we were doing PE all day long, and I had second graders hanging on me all day long. Mark, Mr. Haney. And I didn't know it at the time, but they had stretched my shirt. And when I, and it was a 2X, and it hung about right here. And at the end of the day, it hung down to my knees. And I came home, and my hair's sticking up, and my shirt's hung down to my knees, and I looked at Jay like, I need a nap. Got a whole new appreciation for teachers, and now I lost my train of thought for my other story. I shouldn't have done that. What was I saying? Yeah, body odor, yeah. So in first grade, the teacher would come in, and she's like, made a big deal about it. Just, God, you guys stink. It's horrible. You guys need to take baths and have your moms get you deodorant. God, you stink. And so I took it to heart. I'm like, God, and she was telling us every day, go home, take a bath. Well, it was really just one kid in the class that had some, hygiene problems at home. It was a bad situation. But instead of pulling him aside, instead of getting with the principal, instead of getting with the fan, blah, 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 she just keeps doing this broad statement. And so I go home, and I'm taking baths at night, and Mom starts wondering why I'm staying in the bathtub so long. And she came in the bathroom one night, and she said that I was standing up in the tub, and I had a washcloth with soap on it, and I had scrubbed myself so hard from top to bottom that my little body was red. And she said, Mark, what are you doing? And I said, Mom, and I was crying. I was crying in the bathtub. I was like, Mom, the teacher says I stink. And so then Mom has to hear the story, and she finds out the whole story, but it was really just at one kid, and she's assured me, Mark, you don't stink. And then so to this day, whenever I start getting that care meter goes up, too much, caring what people think. And I'm not saying go around and just be a rear, the other word, okay? Don't go, but don't let people affect you is what I'm trying to say. And she'll always tell me, Mark, don't scrub yourself. So that's where that story comes from. So as I got older, my care meter has went down. But in ministry, I've had, and you guys, no matter what you're doing, I look over here at Mark, he's a coach. I mean, welcome to that world. It's a lot like being a pastor. Everybody can do it better than you. But I can remember early in my ministry here in Leedy, and I know I look back now, and it was attacks of the enemy, the hurt whisperer, to keep me from doing what God was calling me to do here. But I remember one time, a lady came up to me, and it was her brother, and she told me, she goes, my brother won't go to that church, because our church was called That Church. I wanted to rename our church That Church, but she goes, my brother won't go to that church because you never visited him. And I can remember looking at her, and God gave me wisdom right there. I love it when God drops something into you just like that. And I looked at her, and I said, huh, he never visited me either. And she's like, huh, you know, I never heard of that, you know. And then I had another person tell me one time, and these are all people in Leedy that I know. This is what, and this is talking about rejection. Then I had one girl come up to me. She didn't come up to me. She called me, and she was bawling. And I thought, my gosh, something's happened. You know, I was like, what's going on? She goes, my dad just called you David Koresh. I was like, well, thank you. That really ministers to me. You know, thank you for calling me to tell me that. And did you tell him you're not my wife? No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't even said that. God, forgive me in the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you, and you guys are looking at me like, yeah, these were people from Leedy. And I'm like, I felt like Jesus. I'm like, man, I'm not welcome in my hometown. I thought these people liked me. And here I am. I'm David Koresh. But now as I've gotten older, I don't care. And based on this scripture, Jesus even said, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did the prophets. They did it to Jesus too. And then he also said, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. And so and I'm not telling you it was easy to getting over those things. I mean, because I still had to see those people in town that I knew. They didn't know that I knew, but I knew what they had said. And it stuck in me. You know, and I wanted to come up to some of that one guy and say, hey, I'm Mr. Koresh. How are you doing today? No, you know, I just wanted to get, it was just like, you know, and I'm going to tell you how God led me through this. I mean, I'm talking, this was a hard time for me because I was taking it personally. It was getting on my nerves. I was wanting to go take names in the name of Jesus in a different way. And it was just all those thoughts were just running through me all the time. And I'm like, God, you're going to have to help me get over this. And so this is what the Lord told me to do. Mark, I want you to forgive those who reject you. I'm like, that's easy for you to say because you're not here dealing with it. And he was like, I have dealt with it. I know what you're going through. They called me Satan. So you need to get over it because if you're doing something for me and you're doing something for the kingdom of God, I promise you the enemy's going to stir up all kinds of stuff. And he'll even start. And these are. I believe that they're Christians, that they know the Lord, but that stirs them up because of that rejection in them. And so he takes me to Luke chapter 6 again, and he shows me this passage of Scripture. Luke 6, verses 27 through 31, love your enemies. Like, Lord, this is getting tough. You better help me. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And I had a time with the Lord on that one. I told him, I said, well, God, I've only got four cheeks, so some of you will get that later. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. And then he says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. Now, I will get to that slide in just a second. I did not know it, but at that time, what was going on was God was getting to this spirit of rejection that I had upon me. And he said, Mark, you know that you're being controlled by a spirit of rejection when you cannot love a person beyond the way they are treating you. I'll say that again. You know that you're being controlled by a spirit of rejection when you cannot love a person beyond the way they are treating you. And I'm going to tell you, in and of our own love, we can't do it, but with God's love, we can. You have to have the Holy Spirit's help to do this. You can't do it in and of yourself. And the way that I was responding was, well, I am going to treat you the exact same way that you're treating me, and even worse, because I want to get back at you. That's what I was, in myself, that's what I was saying. But that kind of response, let me tell you, shows you how weak in spirit that you really are. And so I was like, I told the Lord one day, I was like, Lord, okay, I've read this in your word. I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but man, you're going to have to help me renew my mind according to this. And the Lord, and I about titled this message this, And I know some of you have heard me say this before, some of you haven't, but it really does help. May have to say it a few times, but it really does help. So I'm going to give you three words to say when you're rejected, okay? The guys, this will help you on the ball field, all right, I promise. You don't have to say it out loud. You can just say it under your breath or just say it in your mind. I've had to say it in my mind when I'm talking to somebody on the phone and they're rejecting me. And I start saying it, and it makes me laugh. I actually get tickled now when I think about this little saying that the Lord gave me. And so I was like, okay, Lord, how do I respond? What do I do in and of myself to renew my mind to do Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31? And the Lord said, Mark, just tell them to go to heaven. And he said, you may not have to say it out loud, but just say it to yourself, say it in your mind, and it'll trigger you to renew your mind, and you'll be able to rise above and be able to respond to them and look at them, even smile, and just love them right where they're at. So on the ball field, just, you know, that umpire, go to heaven. Go to heaven. marriage, go to heaven. Okay? You can just look at your spouse and say, go to heaven. That can be your deal. And it makes you laugh and stop and diffuse the situation and stop rejecting one another. And I've had to use it a lot. I had to use it this week. I had a real estate deal that fell through. It actually fell through because somebody had a spirit of rejection on them. And it was like I was living out this message this week, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing it out here in the world because something happened in this real estate deal, and they just got all offended and hurt and all kinds of stuff. And in my mind, I had to say, well, just go to heaven. You know, and it helped me get over that. So look at somebody and say, go to heaven. Go to heaven. All right, here's the takeaways today. Rejection is something we all have experienced. Every one of us in here have. So, and I know I've been making jokes to help us to, I know this is a hard one to swallow. I know there's some stories in here today that would just, you know, we'd all be saying, okay, you're justified to feel the way you're feeling. But guys, we've got to forgive because it holds you in bondage. And so rejection is something we've all have experienced, and some of us experienced it to different degrees than others. Rejection can stop us from our destiny. It can stop you in your tracks. It can hold you hostage forever. Jesus is the perfect example of being an overcomer. You need to, you know, his life, how he overcame rejection. We can be overcomers and step into our destiny. And when our focus is Jesus, we are victorious. And remember to tell them to go to heaven, okay, because it's going to happen. Tell them to go to heaven. All right, I want to close with this scripture today. This is John chapter 6, verse 37. This is today's scripture that I put on social media today. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out or reject. Isn't that good? That the Lord will never reject you. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And just want you to focus on you and your relationship with the Lord. Don't be, you know, worried about the person next to you or anything. I just want you to focus on you and your relationship. And I know most of you in here. Some of you I don't. But we do this every Sunday. In closing, because I want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's a very simple process. I'm not going to have you, you know, raise your hand or come up here and shake my hand. It's not about joining the church. It's about becoming a part of the family of God. And in Romans 10, the Apostle Paul told us how we do it. As he said, all we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead on the third day. And then he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I want to lead you in calling upon the name of the Lord so that you will be saved if you've never done that before. And even if you are saved and you know that you're saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. If that's your first time to pray that prayer, I want you to welcome you to the family of God. Your next step that you need to do, your next step of obedience, is following the Lord in water baptism. And we have a heated baptistry up there, so we can do that next Sunday. If you'd like to do that, get with me after service. And I'd like for everybody to stand up in here, because I know we got some young men in here that's got a ball game this afternoon. So I'm glad that some of the travelers are here this morning. And I think they play at 1:30 in Woodward if you want to go watch some baseball. And then you guys, please be in prayer for Taya and baby Jerick. I appreciate that. And I just want to speak a blessing over you before we dismiss today, okay? Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they're the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it, and everybody said amen. Amen. God is good and all the time. You guys have an awesome week. Love you all.